Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer here with Ray Brewer at the Las Vegas Sun, ready to talk some high school football. And to be more specific, for a stretch there Friday night, I was all ready to open this show with a big soliloquy about the Legacy Longhorns, thinking they were going to be the superior Bulls in the Battle of the Bulls. But they fall apart a little at the end, lose in overtime to Arborview, turned into a great rivalry game, which I knew Brewer called, expected this to be close to 38-32. Arborview over Legacy is the result that's sticking out to me the most from last weekend.
Yeah, that was just, you know, one of those games that we'll be talking about for a few weeks, if not the next time they play. Legacy was up for 85% of the game. Arborview had to rally to tie. Arborview ends up pulling it out, but Legacy hung with them, battled from start to finish. Legacy obviously has a pretty good combination with that quarterback, Evan Olaez. I hope I said that right.
I think it's just Olaez.
Olaez.
Could be wrong.
Well, I can't get anything right, but he really threw the ball around well, and Arborview got lucky. Shout out to the kicker. 49-yarder, school record, CK.
Ooh, school record. They've had some good kickers, too. This isn't like a one-year thing, so.
Yeah, so.
Easton Jones.
Yeah, so we got a field goal right before halftime that that kind of kept them in the game, and then Arborview pulled it out. But just a phenomenal back-and-forth game, fitting of two top 10 teams.
Yeah, they needed every point, obviously, to escape in overtime. Koa Carmichael scoring the game-winning touchdown on a quarterback sneak, but that running back stable produced as usual. Jaden Jackson and Daniel Mitchell each had more than 100 yards.
Yeah, and you know, if you're Legacy, you're thinking, gosh, we are a play or two away from being undefeated, because 2 weeks ago they went down to California, basically led the entire time as well, and couldn't hold on. So Longhorns are going to have to learn how to finish. They get Green Valley this week. Arborview gets a week off as the Centennial, and then they play next week in the Chicken Finger game.
Ooh, and that's looking bigger and bigger, I feel like. I know last week we said Centennial turned our heads, and we were like, okay, this team's even better than we expected, and we were both high on them going into the year. But I feel like this week they did it even more. I know Basic's not what Basic once was, but they go in there and win 42-6, which really got my eyes moving, because that's almost the exact same score that Arborview beat Basic by, 42-0. I think at the beginning of the year, we would have been all in saying, yes, Centennial's a lot better, but Arborview's still going to be a pretty sizable favorite in the game. I think now you can make a case that you could pick Centennial and not be crazy, I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, totally agree. Early Centennial had a pair of red zone turnovers, Basic forced some fumbles, got some recoveries. But once Centennial held on to the ball, they really looked good. Jordan Smith, four touchdown runs. And Dustin Forsey is like, hey, my running back might be the best in town. He's really, really explosive. Called him the most explosive guy, one of the most explosive guys in Las Vegas at running back. So when you figure you got that and the Tenney kid could swing the ball around at quarterback, Centennial's got a good offense. We'll see how their defense holds up with the Arborview front running the rock. But that's next week. We don't want to, what is the saying, put the horse ahead of the, put the.
Well, here's the difference, though. Put the cart in front of the horse. But here's why I don't feel like we possibly are. They're both on bye weeks.
Yeah.
So they're both coming in fresh. This is the next game. This is the biggest game in the division this week. So I know what you mean by it is we don't want to glance over other teams, but I think this game, I think it's every bit worth already talking about it. And to shout out Jordan Smith, he's averaging more than 10 yards per carry this year and has 8 touchdowns in 3 games. So pretty good, like you said.
And the loser of this game has to play Desert Pines first in the playoffs. Not first, but
before the other, right?
Yeah, in the semi-round. And Desert Pines looks, I mean, they put up 60-something on Sierra Vista, which Sierra Vista's not that good. They're very young. But Desert Pines has just got a ton of Jimmys and Joes, CK. And they're throwing it around well. Michael Jackson III, Darnell Washington. I mean, there's so many people that are scoring and doing things for the Jags. And they have to be feeling confident. They have faced zero resistance this season. And, you know, so we'll see what happens when they play a Legacy or a Canyon Springs in league play, where I guess now my kitty cats are back in the fray, right? But right now, things are just looking really, really easy for the Jags.
Yeah, and surely to have won 64-0, you think they probably cleaned up some of the stuff you saw at the one game to open the season where they were a little undisciplined. You got to think they got a little better penalty-wise. So that's scary, knowing there's still room for Desert Pines to grow.
What about the other undefeated team in town, CK?
I'm trying to think of who you're talking about. I know you're not talking about Chaparral because they lost. I know you're not talking about Gorman because they held on to win but have lost before. So those are your two favorite teams. I don't know who beyond that.
Yeah, you sound like one of my friends on the message board. Yeah, shout out to Clark. They beat Shap. Shap was 3-0, feeling good about themselves. I was feeling good about myself. Clark comes in, get the win. Ricky Pickens. The Chargers have now won 3 games in a row, so good for them.
Oh, they're undefeated?
No, they're lost their first.
Okay,
win.
Gotcha.
They lost the Virgin, but now they're 3-1.
I'm really not sure who you were talking about when you said the other undefeated team in town.
Those Panthers, baby.
Oh gosh, I've been on the bandwagon and I didn't know.
Yeah, Palo Verde. They go into Green Valley. They hang on, I guess is a good word for a 14-7 victory. They forced 5 turnovers, Tanner Vaughn, fumble recovery, interception, and those Panthers are feeling good about themselves. Speaking of good running backs.
Chiron Thomas?
Yeah, 19 carries, 150, 2 touchdowns. You know, it reminds me of a decade ago when Paolo was just running the rock. Here's a kid that's reminding me of past Palo Verde glory. Very impressive victory by the Panthers. They're undefeated. They got the Thursday night TV game against the well-rested, good defending Foothill Falcons.
Well, that's a good Thursday night game.
What do you set the total in that game?
Whew, pretty low. I mean,
Foothill good D can't score. Palo's going to run the rock and drain the clock.
Definitely not in the 40s, in the 30s somewhere.
Yeah, I was thinking like 33 and a half.
I would still take over on that. I think we might be overreacting a little bit to, I don't know, maybe my total making is just a little different. I was thinking more in like the 39 range.
Okay. Hey, we didn't script this in our meeting. CK, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay, our non-existent meeting.
Well, nobody needs to know that. Okay, so this week is the Bone Game.
Correct.
Las Vegas versus Rancho, if you're new to town. It's believed to be the longest standing active rivalry in Nevada high school football. And I say active because the Jug game, Basic Boulder City, dates back to World War II.
Okay. I did not know that. I learned something new today. I didn't know the Jug game was from World War II. Yeah. All right.
So Las Vegas is playing for its, I believe, 23rd. I had it in the picks that I sent you. 23rd consecutive or 24th consecutive victory against the Rancho Rams.
24th you have.
Okay, so Rancho is a bottom three team in town. It's been through a ton of coaches. However, Leon Evans, the respected local high school coach who was at El Dorado and Centennial and who's coached a little bit in junior college, appears to be having his alma mater getting better. They've only won one game, but all the coaches are saying, hey, Leon's got this thing rolling. He's going to get some kids. They got a chance to get this fixed.
Even the scores can attest to that they've been better.
Okay, so what streak is going to go longer? Vegas's bone game victory streak against the Rancho Rams or Gorman's state championship streak?
And I like this. This might be the best question you've ever come up with.
Yeah. And I didn't want to give you a head start to think about it because you got to look at, like, you know, some of the teams that are knocking on Gorman's door, right? Arbor, DP, Liberty, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could argue that they're as close to, and Vegas is just, I mean, they look good again. They're 3-0. They've had a week to prepare. They're probably going to win by the running clock.
This is a really tough one. One thing I'd like to know, I wish I knew, and not that he owes it to anyone or we would need to know, but I wish I knew, like, if I was confident Leon was going to be there long term, Here's where I'm going with this.
That's a good point.
I remember a couple of years ago, Rancho had their one big, like, pretty decent year. They were like 500 with the one coach whose name
Pletch.
With Pletch, and he lasted one more season, right?
He got sick. He was their baseball coach, but he used magnet program to get kids there.
Yeah, I'm not calling him out for not lasting longer. I'm just saying it makes you wonder, like, if you're telling me Leon Evans is going to be there for the next five seasons, then I might be tempted to go with Rancho, but if it's going to be another one or two and done, it's tough to go that way. I don't know. What are you thinking? What's your reasoning on what side you're going with?
I mean, I just don't see anybody in the near future beating Gorman. I always say, okay, hey, when like Tate Martell leaves, maybe they've got inexperience, or when Thompson Robinson left and last year they looked a little vulnerable, but Gorman has so many younger players. I mean, their running back is a sophomore and he's really good. And you know Gorman's line's going to be great, and when push comes to shove, they could just hand the rock off and get whatever yardage they need, you know, unless something crazy were to happen. I mean, because Desert Pines has got the kids on offense. They've got the kids at the skilled positions, but how are they in the trenches, and can they play a perfect game? Because you need to play a perfect game to beat Gorman, right? You can't have a penalty or a late hit or a blown coverage or whatever problem you have, you can't have that. So it's a great question. I think we could be in for another decade of both.
Whew, another decade. I say at least one of them falls in the next decade. My thing is, and I love Desert Pines this year. I hope they give them a run, but I still, to me, if you're giving me a team that's going to do it, I still take Liberty way above everyone else. I mean, there is no doubt how much they've closed the gap, even though the scores have still been out there. Liberty has really built their program up and up and up. And I mean, Gorman reached the pinnacle. If you look at it that way, they're not the absolute power they were 3 or 4 years ago. They're still one of the best programs in the country, but now they're what, like probably in the 15 to 20 range if you look at the rankings, instead of like a surefire one or two. So I don't know, you come down just a little bit more and Liberty comes up just a little bit more. I think these things are less permanent than we want to believe, even though it's been a decade. I get that. But, I mean, who knows? Are we expecting the same coaching staff to be at Gorman for another 10 years, too? I'm not trying to put these guys on the spot or anything, but I'm just saying a lot can change. So 10 years, I actually could see both ending within 10 years. I don't think Gorman wins every state championship into eternity, and I think Rancho, if they keep it this current clip, is on pace to win the Bone game. I guess if I had to pick, I'm going Rancho. But I would not be surprised by either.
Okay, so one of your many jobs here is you also cover sports gambling for the Sun. So you're good at odds. You get the math behind it. You're really analytical. You like numbers. If you had to set a line today in two games, what would the line be?
Okay.
Centennial Arborview.
Is the game at Centennial or Arborview this year? I'm not sure.
Hold on. I'm sorry. That's a good question.
Definitely goes into it.
Arborview schedule on Max Preps. The game is at home at Arbor, so you know it's going to be packed because they got the best home crowd in America.
Home field. This is their home field, always matters, even if it's not packed, I believe.
And these two schools are closest. Centennial will travel and probably have people on its side.
I'm going to have Arborview 7.5.
Okay, so I kind of set you up to fail there because we don't know who's going to play quarterback.
Well, yeah, assuming if I had to set it right now, I thought I had to. Yeah, okay. I thought I had to set it right now. I
7.5. Okay.
Yeah, you think that's too high?
I don't know. I mean, I think Arborview is, to use another word I've used today, vulnerable.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree. But, I mean, high school football, we know the gap between even the top teams and the middle teams is usually very wide. I don't feel like 7.5 is a very I think that's a fair line. I'm pretty confident in that one. I'd have Arborview -7.5
okay,
right now.
Okay, so what about this overreaction? So Liberty went and lost to Centennial Corona 63-19, right? They haven't won yet, but this is by design. They're playing the best of the best to get ready for an opportunity to play Gorman in the championship game, which looks like it's a no-brainer going to happen, right?
Right.
In the regional championship game. Mm-hmm. Desert Pines has played virtually nobody, and they're killing people. What would the line be at Sam Boyd Stadium between Liberty and Desert Pines?
Whew, this was not the way I thought you were going with this, so now I'm going to have to think for a little bit. Liberty's certainly favored. I just think that seeing what they've done, they've played such a tough schedule. It's been absolutely insane.
Do you think, just talking out loud, do you think that their players are losing confidence because of the losses and the margin of defeat?
I doubt it. It's certainly possible. I don't think it's a bad question, but I go back to this Liberty coaching staff. Morocco's been there, what, 10 or 11 years now. I feel like he knows how to push the right buttons. I would be a little bit worried if it was a guy we weren't as confident in, but I'm pretty confident in that staff to, you know, be preaching their right message, to have the kids up. I'm going to say Liberty minus 11. I know you probably think 11. That's too high. Yeah. I wanted double digits, and I don't know. 10.5 sounded a little low. I'm going to go 11.
I mean, I do know that Desert Pines has been stacked before, right? They had that team of 2017 when Grayson ended up getting hurt, and then they went to Liberty, and Liberty just killed them.
And the teams were pretty comparable last year. I mean, both teams have a lot back from last year, and Liberty didn't really have much problem at Desert Pines last year.
Oh, that's right. They played last year, the fight game.
They won.
Right?
I'm trying to find the score. They won. I was there, but I don't. Why? It's not popping up on their schedule. Liberty. Oh, because it's a forfeit. They won 1-0, I guess. I think they won like 28-7 or something.
But I
still have that in my mind, too. I mean, the game went on. They didn't have to forfeit it till afterwards. And I'm pretty sure they won something like 28-7. It's just on the score is showing up as 1-0. So.
I mean, I just think the one thing, and I know we're just talking out loud, but I am so worn out with covering games that are in a blowout. I just want to see a close game. You know, like, did you remember a few years ago when Moapa played Desert Pines in the state game?
Yeah.
DP was up by like 3 touchdowns. Moapa came back and won. You know, Moapa had like RJ Hubert. There was good players on both sides. It was a well-played game, right? That, to me, is so much more fun to cover than Gorman 58, Liberty 0, or whatever to whatever, you know? And that's why maybe this Desert Pine, I mean, the Centennial Arborview game is appealing, because even though it's 80 miles from my house, at least we think it's going to be close, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm never going to argue that I would want more close games, and I think we're coming in on some. I got a little distracted because I'm really happy you brought up that name. RJ Hubert getting some playing time on
the
Pac-12 favorites, right? Or one of the Pac-12 favorites right now. So,
yeah, very
could
impressive.
Be getting a ring possibly at the end of the year. Yeah. In the running, at least. So,
he's got a ring.
Shout
from
out to him.
Wampa already.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I noticed him in one of the games I was watching a couple weeks ago, and I forgot to bring it up. So, I always like giving those former kids shout outs. But yeah, more close games. Let's get it done.
You know, I love. So, we make our picks purely entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. We've been making the picks longer than anybody. You know, I remember back in the day when I was strictly at the home news and. You know, Darwin Ross, my guy from Palo, used to drive into town to pick up the paper to get the picks to plastered on the wall, right?
And I think Darwin took exception to one pick I made last year, maybe, and sent me an email. So, you know, he's still looking out.
It's just these guys take these picks so personal. Like, I talked to one coach on Friday night. I thought he was pissed. He was pissed at me because I'd picked against him and they won, and I was like, I sensed the tension over the phone where I was like semi-nervous. So we're about to get in the picks. It's strictly for entertainment. We love everybody, right?
Yeah, we love everyone.
We love everyone. We appreciate your support. And, you know, shout out to, and this isn't the coach, but shout out to Cheyenne for that Duel in the Desert dub.
I thought that might be who it was because nah. I'm serious. That was the one that I feel like got away from me last week because I came in here thinking I might pick Cheyenne and you were so confident Cimarron was going to blow him out. I was like, oh, maybe I'll just pick it to be a closer game.
Well, he picked up the phone and Patrick's a different cat. Everybody knows that. It's what makes him so adorable. But he's like, who am I talking to? The guy that picked against me or the guy who picked with me? And I'm like, I think we both picked against you.
Yeah, that's true. We did. I just I was close. I thought it was going to be a close game, but you swayed me a little bit with Cimarron. So yeah, that was a great game though. Shout out to Cheyenne for getting it done. Seems like they've gotten better.
One of these weeks, you got to do your picks first, so I don't influence you.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
that would be interesting.
Because if I pick a team to win and
but you always send me the game, so
I know. But if you pick a team to win and blow, if I pick a team to win in blowout fashion.
That's true. Well, I'll point out if there were any this week. where your thoughts really swayed me, because I've done most of my picks already since we've come in, but okay. I had yours still.
All right.
Well, let's start with maybe the game of the week. Thursday Night Lights, Foothill at Palo Verde.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around Foothill, because Riggin is a three-year varsity guy. He knows the offense inside and out, but they've been struggling to score. And I get that. They lost a lot of playmakers from last year's team, and it's going to take a while to break them in. The Foothill defense, though, has just been lights out 3 weeks in a row. Foothill went to Shadow, beat a Shadow team that I think is very similar to Palo. I think they go on the road on TV and get the dub.
Really tough one for me. I was had to think about it. Foothill was my first reaction for a lot of what you said, but I mean, Palo Verde looking pretty good. They've been good to me, 3-0. They're at home. I think this is a coin toss game, so I'm going to go with the Panthers. I think it could be a really good one.
I totally agree. Finally, the Thursday Night Light game has...
should deliver. It'll be like 28-0 for one of the two sides. We'll see.
With a bunch of penalties, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, the Bone game is next. Rancho at Las Vegas. I think that Vegas is going to make it 24 straight, but... like I said, the Rams are making some strides.
The Rams are making some strides. And back to our narrative from earlier, where we would like to see some of these games be closer for the betterment of, I mean, this Bone game rivalry, despite Vegas winning 24 times in a row, there's still a decent crowd on both sides, which is rare considering, you know, both schools are technically at risk or in the inner city or whatever label you want to use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if Rancho actually won one of these years. Now, all of a sudden, you've got some interest in a game that has such great history and tradition in our city. So I'm rooting for a close game. I don't think it's going to happen. I got the kitty cats.
Yeah, we've both just been very impressed with Las Vegas this year. So I think they continue on that here. Legacy at Green Valley.
Yeah, I think, you know, Legacy, if they could stay in it mentally, I think that they got a chance to make some noise over there, and that it's what's going to be a really fun playoff in that mountain region with Centennial and Arbor and Legacy and DP and, you know, Canyon's lurking around, and how's Faith going to be? Faith has been playing a Liberty as schedule. So I hope Legacy doesn't lose its spirit with those two late losses. I think they're going to learn how to finish. I don't know what's happening at Green Valley. The quarterback, Castro, didn't play last week, and they clearly struggled moving the ball against Palo.
Yeah.
And I got Legacy.
I'm a little unhappy about this because I feel like after your passionate defense of Green Valley last week, you probably should have picked them at least once in the last 2 weeks and let me pick up a game on you. Yet I think you're more illustrating my point from last week that I don't think Green Valley is so far removed from all these other teams in their division by not picking them 2 weeks in a row, because I'm not picking them again this week either. I think it'll be close, but I've got Legacy.
You lose your quarterback, you're going to struggle at any level.
I was literally shocked when we forgot that game last week and you sent me your pick and it was Green Valley over Palo Verde. Everything I know about Ray Brewer would say that it was going to be Green Valley.
I had Green Valley first, and then I said, you know what? I was going to try to do something Henderson Bull-esque with Paul Myro, who was at Basic and now is at Palo, and I couldn't pull it off. But I picked.
There you go.
I got the dub, baby. Yeah. I got the dub.
I know. I'm just unhappy because I feel like your love of Green Valley should have led you to at least a loss there and maybe even this week. But alas, we're in agreement. We both got Legacy. I think the Longhorns get it done. I think they're going to have to come through in a late game situation instead of fall apart for once. But I think they're capable of it. I think the Longhorns win a close one. Shadow Ridge at Mojave.
Yeah, this has got Shadow written all over it. The Mustangs have had two bye weeks and two close defeats. Now they get a Mojave team that is struggling. I've got the Mustangs.
Yeah, hard to pick against Shadow Ridge here. So Mustangs times two. God, well, we should have shouted out this performance last week. How about Silverado 56-0 against your Del Sol Dragons? Not that I expected Silverado to lose, but I really thought that was going to be a close game.
Yeah, Silverado's run offense is good, and they've got some big linemen, and you see the disparity between the 3A and the 4A, and Silverado just mauled them up front. And then defensively, they came up with 5 interceptions. Just a great all-around performance. Ryan Thomas picked 6 for the Hawks.
Yeah, so that was a segue. This week, Silverado is hosting Durango. And I think Silverado picks up another win. I think Durango, we've said, is kind of in a little bit of a rebuilding year. I think they've played pretty well. I don't expect them to lose by as much as Del Sol, but I think it's hard to pick against Silverado right now.
It is, and this is the league opener for Silverado and Durango. Southeast League play, same narrative. Gorman's going to beat everybody, and then between Clark Bonanza, Spring Valley, it's going to be fun.
Right, so we're both,
and others, yeah,
both on Silverado. Liberty at Liberty, interestingly enough. The Arizona Liberty hosting the Henderson Liberty Patriots.
Yeah, I think this is the week the Patriots get in the win column. Obviously it's a tough spot because you're on the road, right? But I think the opponent's not as good. I think the game's going to slow down a little bit for the Patriots of Liberty, and they get a victory in Arizona.
Yeah, it's just so hard for me to imagine Liberty being 0-5. Maybe that's a dumb reason to pick them, but I also looked a little bit at Liberty of Arizona. I believe they're 2-1, certainly a good team. So if Liberty doesn't show up, if they have some travel woes, Liberty, Nevada, they could lose this game, but I think that they would be the favorite, and I think they're going to take out some frustration potentially and win this game.
Totally agree.
All right, so we keep agreeing. I actually think this one is a little bit tough to pick with the way Cheyenne has improved. They gave Moapa Valley some troubles last year. That being said, the Pirates are coming off of a bye week. Who do you got in Moapa Valley at Cheyenne?
You know, Moapa Valley, a team also that was playing without its quarterback for a little bit, should be ready to roll. Listen, this is the creme of the creme of the 3A, two teams that are expected to be there. This may not be their lone meeting of the year. One of them more than likely will represent the South in the state tournament. And it's just a gigantic test for Moapa to come in from Overton. You know, Cheyenne's a team that's based on speed, getting the ball in open space. Moapa Valley, you know, could run it down your throat. They could also sling it a little bit. I take the Pirates. I'm going to go with what I know, and that's Moapa Valley.
Yeah, I think I already mentioned it, I know, but I think that bye week looms large. Any idea I had about an upset, I think it takes a hit, the fact that Cheyenne was in a rivalry game that was kind of a battle last week, while Moapa was more, licking its wounds, getting healthier, getting ready to go into this huge game, a big scheduling advantage for the Pirates. And since I think they're a little bit better anyway, I can't go with the upset. I'm going to go with Moapa Valley. Valley versus Slam Academy.
Yeah, Valley got its first win last week. They beat Rancho. Slam, I think, is still one step behind Valley. I'm going to go with Valley.
Yeah, hard for me to argue there. I feel like Valley has got just a few more playmakers. I think Valley edges this one out. Pahrump Valley coming to my Coronado Cougars. I'm going with the Cougars, and I can't wait for that $5 bet to cash when they pull one of these upsets in league play. I'm going to remind you every week so we don't forget about that wager.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing an exclusive 3A schedule here, and the wins are, I mean, rightfully so, going to come. So I got the Cougs.
Which you're not a fan of. I don't have any problem with that. I don't think it stunts your development as you seem to. If anything, it gives you some confidence. You get your offense running. You see how it's supposed to go.
And then you play Liberty and you face Division I offensive tackle.
They're not beating Liberty no matter what. There's no way they beat Liberty anyway.
Are they beating Foothill?
I have a bet that they'll beat one of the Foothill Green Valley Basic Triumvirate. You told me no.
I still say no, even though Basic is
I know.
Taking
my bet's already looking better with Basic kind of struggling this year. But we'll get to that when it comes. We're both picking Coronado this week. Should be an easy win, especially since they don't have to travel to Pahrump. Next game, Boulder City coming to town to take on Western.
Yeah, Boulder City's going to win.
Yeah, another simple one here. I'm with you, Boulder City. Del Sol at Sunrise Mountain. It's a tough year for Sunrise, too. Del Sol should be able to bounce back.
Totally agree. And I still like Del Sol to make some noise.
Yeah, I'm kind of jumping off of that a little bit. They've been a little bit underwhelming to me early in the year, but you know, there is a big disparity, as you said, maybe bigger than ever in the 3A. So not all hope is lost yet. El Dorado at Basic, any chance at an upset in this one?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I was trying. It's been two or three straight, so I was just trying to make some suspense. I've got Basic too. Faith Lutheran, is this hopefully finishing out there at a state schedule?
Yep, so they're back to normal.
God, what a change. I was thinking this when you were listing off the programs, catching up on Gorman. A couple years ago, you were all on the Faith train. I'm not saying you were wrong, that they looked like they could be the team to do it. Now they're not even on the short list.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had a hard time getting going offensively this year with a lot of new guys and a lot of new spots.
Yeah, and this year, this week, they're going to Bakersfield Christian. Not sure if I said that earlier. It's another game where I think they're going to look a little out of sorts.
Yeah,
I think Bakersfield Christian's got this one.
I agree.
All right, and to finish us off, another California school, but this one coming to Vegas. Canyon Springs continues their national slate against Clayton Valley, who I know they've played a lot in the past. I don't think they've had a ton of success, and I don't
Clayton
think...
Clayton Valley actually looks pretty good this year, too.
Yeah, I looked over their schedule. Did they beat them once, or did they almost beat them once? At least 1 year it was a close game, I believe.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I'm not going to pick that this year, though. I got to go with Clayton Valley.
So we agree on every pick?
We disagreed on the first one.
Oh, that's right.
I had Palo. We disagreed on one last week. I took it down, the banner game. Spring Valley came out with a win.
Yeah, and that's just probably a good reminder because nobody called to report that score, the banner game. So if you're listening and you'd like us to write about your team after a game, give me a call. You know my number.
There you go. And that's all the games for this week. So a good way to sign it off. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks, as always, for listening to Prep Sports Now.